Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Know his excellency of speech by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Enjoy the Spirit.
Obeisance to the ancient one, we pay obeisance to him who is the savior of all mankind. It was you who initiated the program of salvation. It is you that is sustaining it. It is you that will conclude it. No wonder they call you the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. You have no equal among anything in all of creation. For this we acknowledge you and we thank you because you have been our help. You have sent grace. And grace has been upholding us. We pray and ask of you today that you will move us forward. The Bible says as we look on Jesus, we are being changed. We'll be changed from glory to glory. Let this be our experiences in the name of Jesus. We thank you, our Father. As we open the word of God, I pray that, Lord, that there will be opening of eyes. Lord, there will be strengthening. Father, there will be understanding. Bible says because they did not understand the word, the enemy came and stole the word from their hearts. I pray that not only are we going to understand, this will bear forth fruit, even to eternal life in Jesus' name. I suspend, I bind and cast out every operation of powers of darkness. I declare you have no portion in this place. Let the angels of the Lord move freely to minister to the heirs of salvation in Jesus' mighty name. Help me, Lord. Grant me utterance. Let me speak the word by your spirit in the name of Jesus. Bypass my notes if need be. Let your people be blessed. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. I saw my wife's bag here. Is she around? All right, I guess she is around because this bag would not be here if she's not here physically. Hallelujah. Amen. Good morning, church. This morning I want to speak to us. I don't know if it's going to be teaching, it's going to be preaching. I'm going to just speak to us. The thought came yesterday night as I was thinking and meditating what am I to speak. Actually, I have about three things I would have loved to speak about. And I struggle with which should I speak about, what should I not speak about, how should I go about it. And the thing settled in my heart. And I want to talk to us about darkness. Did you hear what I said? I want to talk about darkness. Darkness. We talked about light a lot. And while I was thinking about this, I was going to ask Pastor Daly a question. It's a study for further research, though. What is the speed of darkness? They have not considered that equation. Amen. But we know that darkness is also an energy. I guess darkness should be an energy. It should also have substance. If light has a substance, darkness should also have what? A substance. Let's welcome my wife. I've missed her for the past 3 days. Hallelujah. Amen. It's not good for a man to be alone. You're welcome there. Amen. Well, that's not my emphasis this morning. I'm not going into science. I'm not talking about science, but I will have to discuss a little about that. In Genesis, in Isaiah 45 verse 7, I want you to know that darkness, had existed before Satan existed. So it's not something that, that it's as if it just came out from nowhere. This is God's assertion. He said, I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and I create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Praise God. Now you might begin to wonder, if God said I create evil, does it mean he's the one creating what is going on here? Not necessarily so. Praise God. It's not as if he doesn't have the knowledge of how to do evil. He has the knowledge of how to do evil. But he has chosen not to use that knowledge to do it on anybody. Praise the Lord. Do you understand? And in nature, you can see that electricity does not exist without a negative pole. You have both the negative and the positive pole for it to exist. And so in other words, it's as if to me, he created those things as a way of balancing. Amen. Somewhere, they balance themselves out. I don't understand the physics. I don't understand the mathematical modeling. But that is just what we came and we found. He said it himself. I didn't write it. So I form it. Praise God. And in Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 to 4, verses 2 to 4, look at it there. So much to learn from the book of Genesis chapter 1 alone. Remember in Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says, verse 4 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and what? The earth. Verse 2 now come up. He said, and the earth was without what? Form and void. And what did we find? Darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Verse 3. And God said, the first thing that God did with the situation he saw, definitely God did not like what he was looking at. What he saw was darkness. Praise God. And he did not like what he saw. This was not balanced. Just like when he made man and looked at man and said, this is not complete. Amen. Even though after he made man, Bible says everything was good in his sight. Amen. But he came back himself and said, it is not good. Praise God. Was he confused? He wasn't confused. Praise God. He was responding to the heart yearning that he saw in Adam. Because Adam saw all the animals two by two, and they were playing and playing. And something in Adam said, I wish I also had a mate like these animals have. And God said, no problem, I'll give you. And he gave him a wife. Praise God. And of course, you know the rest of the story. And so the Bible said, let there be light, and there was light. Please note this. Before Genesis chapter 1, there had always been light. I don't know why you're with me. How do I know that? John chapter 1 said, in the beginning was what? The Word. And the Word was with what? And the Word was what? Next verse, what does it say? In it was what? Life. And that life was what? Light. So light had always existed. But what came forth here, praise God, was not as God was creating light, God was asking light to invade darkness. Amen. Do you follow me? And that was, we see God invading darkness, thereby establishing for us a pattern of how to conquer darkness. Amen. Because just like light has its own principles of operation, it has its own way and the dynamics by which it works, so does darkness also have its own operations. Amen. So today I'm trying to help us to understand what we are really, really up against when the Bible speaks about darkness. Praise God. So darkness in the natural is what you and I observe in the absence of light. But darkness in reality is more than absence of light. Amen. Darkness is actually a powerful entity or a creation that you and I are really up against. Praise God. The Bible told us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 6, Paul was beginning to say about this issue that let there be light. He said, God, can we go there? He said, for God who commanded light to shine out of darkness. I like that. I don't understand. Is it light shine into darkness? What is saying that? He said, God said, let light shine out. Praise God. That's awesome. It's as if he took the materials of darkness and turned it into light. That was awesome. Praise God. It changed the situation. Praise God. That is awesome power. In chemistry, we can change a chemical or two different chemicals and create another chemical entirely different from the original chemicals, right? Praise God. But he didn't need to mix. He can call gold out of this water. How can that be? seen that this water is made of H2O and gold. What's the chemical composition of gold? Eh? Gold. Me, I know diamond. Diamond is made of carbon. Of what? Who did chemistry here, for goodness sake? Okay, you didn't do chemistry, but you have an idea of chemistry. What is the chemical composition of gold? You don't know. Praise the Lord. Go and one more foot at yourself. Amen. Any case. He called darkness out. Sorry, he called light out of darkness and commanded to shine in our hearts. Amen. That is the operation. He called it out. And if you and I are going to, see, we must stop thinking from the natural perspective. In the natural perspective, light shines into darkness. In the spiritual perspective, God called it out of darkness. Amen. And what was it about? He said to give the light of the knowledge. Light of the knowledge. There's a knowledge of the glory. Now, we always call this scripture. It said, the scripture, the prophecy. It said, as the waters cover the sea. Or how did it? Said the knowledge of the glory of God shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Now, I used to interpret that, and I guess most of us used to do so, that what it meant was that the glory of God will cover the whole earth. He didn't say so. He said the knowledge of the glory. The knowledge of the glory will cover the whole earth as the waters cover the seas. Hallelujah. And so Paul is saying here that the original intention for bringing light out of darkness was to foretell an activity that will take place in the future, which is that he's going to call light out of darkness and command that light to give us the knowledge of the glory of God, which you can only see in the face of Jesus. Hallelujah. I don't know whether you understand that. So the antidote to darkness is light. And it's just not light, it's a particular kind of light. Praise God. Some of us do not know that there was a time we had incandescent bulbs. I don't know whether of you are here when we used to use incandescent bulbs. Then we migrate from incandescent bulbs and we are using LED lights. Praise God. No, we went to CFL. What is the name of CFL? No, those round bulbs we used to have. Eh? You know those round bulbs that Ibu used to sell to us now in Arakale? Then we graduated from that. Now we are using this. I don't know where we are migrating to next. Praise God. But I know they're developing technologies of things that we will consume less energy than LED lights. Praise God. And then I don't know where we'll go. We don't know yet. Amen. So they are developing different kinds of light. But that is not what we're talking about here. That we are looking at something that is even much more powerful than that. Now, I want to explain something. Metaphorically, darkness is the region where Satan has found his home. Are you with me? The characteristics and the nature of death has found it most appropriate to operate in the regions of darkness. It's like you take a seed, maize, is this maize seed or corn seed, whichever one, seed, maize, praise God. It is going to be, it's not likely that if you throw that seed in water, it will germinate, right? But it's not likely to grow, to be able to fruit. Do you know that? It will not be able to grow to fruit, praise God. And so we need to look for the most appropriate medium for that thing to grow, prosper, and bring us harvest, right? And so we look for the right kind of soil to plant it. Amen. Now, that thing will not do well in any kind of soil. And so, over the years, men have found a specific kind of soil that will grow that particular kind of seed that will give you the most maximum yield. Praise God. Are you with me? Likewise, Satan by the reason of the fact that he fell into sin and transgression, became impossible for him to operate within the confines of light. Are you with me? It's not as if he can't stand, but he really can't stand there, because that something does is not conducive. He will not prosper within the confines of light. He won't prosper. He won't do well. You won't even know him. Praise God. Thank you, sir. You won't know him. In fact, he will not be able to show his capacity. Amen. He will just die. He will starve to death. Do you understand me? I'm using that in parentheses. Is that okay? Praise the Lord. And so he found that darkness is actually a more conducive atmosphere for him to blossom. Do you follow me? That's the best atmosphere for him to express himself. Please note, I'm not talking about darkness of what you can see, you cannot see. Amen. I'm talking about an atmosphere that has principles by which it operates with. Are you with me? And that which allows sin and death to operate unhindered. Amen. There can be light over this place. We may have LEDs, we can have floodlights, and all this place is lit, and yet we are covered with darkness. I don't know whether you understand me. In the realm of the spirit, it is darkness that is pervading that place. No, there's a place in Isaiah, it talks about the covering cast that was put over the nations. You know what a veil does? A veil cuts off the light. And that anything after that is shrouded in darkness. Praise God. And so there is this scripture somewhere in, is it Luke? It said a people who were what? Who were in the dark place. Do you know where that place is, that scripture is? I didn't capture it. I think it's Luke. Zebulun. You know that land of Zebulun. A place that is under the shadow. Have you found it? Oh my God, I didn't come. Where's my Bible? What's happening? I wish you can look for it. Because I can't go forward if I don't get that scripture. So there's something important there that I want to share now. You can't find it. Let me look for it there. That's why you people are there. Where is Zebulun? Where is Zebulun? Zebu. Zebu is Zebu. Zebu. You don't know Zebu. Zebu is just Zebu. Is it Matthew or is it Matthew or Luke? We get it. Which is 4:16? Matthew 4:16. Thank you. Finally. There, I found it also. Please, anybody that is there should know Bible. It's not just bringing up scriptures. You must just know Bible. Give me from verse 14. Let's read the story for 14. Hurry up. That it might be fulfilled what was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, verse 15. The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, two locations in the natural, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, the Galilee of the Gentiles. Verse 3. The people sat in what? What was this scripture referring to? Nepalites? It was not Nepal. They had Nepal. They had Atupas. They have sun. But the Bible said they sat in darkness. They sat in darkness. Many peoples are sitting in darkness. They go to church, but darkness has enveloped them. And they know it not. These people did not know it. The Bible says these people that sat in darkness saw great light. And to them that sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. Because they sat in darkness, death hovered over them. Praise God. It was easy for Satan to kill, to steal, and to destroy. It was rare. It was a natural thing, a natural phenomenon. So much that if the statisticians were to say, besides the life expectancy of these people that live in this region is not more than 35 years of age. When you are reading those kind of reports, interpreting from the perspective of the spiritual, there is a spiritual entity that is hovering over that area. Praise God. I told them about some of my sons that went to Akuba, they want to cast out devils, and nothing happened. And I told them, this prince over this place, the prince of darkness. You don't just enter his house and you can see that miracles happen. It doesn't work like that. If you don't know how to deal with darkness, you can't make progress. Hallelujah. They were under the shadow of death. And light sprung up for them. Hallelujah. Light will spring up for you. It's just not, and it manifests as ignorance. When you are ignorant of this, of the environment around you, there's a Yoruba saying. They say a child saw efo, saw a leaf, and calls it vegetable. I hope my translation makes sense. Eh? Because it's a child, he doesn't understand that what you are handling is a medium of power. But what you can interpret it to be is just vegetable. Many of you are not seeing correctly because darkness has overwhelmed your sight. You can't see. What did Jesus Christ say about being born again? One of the first things that will happen to you is that they must deal with the darkness. Except a man is born again, he cannot see. Praise God. That is why the story of blind Bartimaeus was inserted in the Bible to let you know that the most important healing you need is sight. Amen. You must be able to see. But majority of us are still in darkness. So Paul prayed that the eyes of your understanding be what? Enlightened. Because you can be born again and still be in darkness. And all these things will be happening in your life. You'll still be like the land of Zebulun and Naphtali. And Satan will just be using your life to play Ludo. But that will not continue in Jesus' name. You must also understand that darkness itself can be a source of judgment. Amen. Hallelujah. It can be a source of what? Judgment. But I'm not, you remember Egypt? Do you remember Egypt? One of the things that God used in fighting Egypt, he used darkness to fight them. The Bible said of the darkness in Egypt, there was darkness in Egypt and there was light where? In Goshen. But darkness, it was not that there was no sun. This darkness had never been seen on the surface of the earth before. Till that time, they've not seen that kind of darkness. After that time, they've not seen that kind of darkness. How was that darkness? That darkness was so thick, was so strong, that it was sniffing out light. Only a black hole does that. In physics. Light will never leave a black hole. It keeps absorbing light. Amen. That if you should put on candle and put it in before your eyes, that darkness sniffed it out. What kind of darkness is that? Hello? Have you seen the type? I have not seen it all. I only read it. Praise God. So I understand that these things, in a way, is a substance. In a way, it can be used to battle. You can use it to battle. You can cover your enemies. Those princes, but they are even bound in chains of darkness, awaiting the judgment of God. Hallelujah. And actually, people thought that there were the fallen angels that came to pregnant women and God bound them and threw them inside the dungeon. I don't know. I've not been there. I don't know. Understand. But one thing I know, that Satan is actually bound in darkness. He cannot leave that prison. It's a prison. And it's an eternal reminder of his eternal judgment. Praise God. Are you following me, church? I'm going somewhere. Now, let me explain this. You now begin to understand why the Bible said this in 2 Corinthians 2:14. I want to read the Good News Version. It says, stop forming inappropriate relationships with unbelievers. The reason why that is, 2 Corinthians, I said 2:14, right? This is 2 Corinthians 6:14, I beg your pardon, not 2:14, 6:14, I'm sorry. 6:14. Good news says, stop, is it good? No, God's word, not good news. God's word, that's a translation called God's word, not good news. Don't go to good news, you won't find it there. It says, stop forming inappropriate relationships with unbelievers. Inappropriate. You know, there are people come to church, but they are technically unbelievers. Do you know that? These are people who come to church, we will read about them, and they blend with the people in the church, and eventually they come to the place of prominence and influence in the church. In the Old Testament, they call them the mixed multitudes. Praise God. They were so influential that they caused the real Israel to go against God. That's how powerful they were. They had voices. And many of you cannot discern when there is a member of the mixed multitude. Paul, Peter, David called them strangers. Praise God. They are strangers. Strange children. They come to the church, but they are carriers of darkness. You see their behavior. They are rebellious. They will not obey anybody. They will do their own thing. It is our life. They are not committed to anybody. Praise God. When somebody comes and says, I was a member of PGT, I will tell you, I don't know you. Because I really don't know you. Praise God. I only know those who are mine. Just like my sheep do what? Who are the members of the sheep? Those who do what? Who hear him? Somebody said, Jesus left 99 and went to follow one sheep. And my response is that he did not follow good. The sheep he went to look for, not good. I don't look for good. I only look for sheep. Amen. Sheep lays on you, yes, we look for it. But if I know that you're a goat, I don't waste my time. This pastor is difficult. I'm following Jesus. Praise God. You must understand the principles of God. Stop forming inappropriate relationships. Judge the spirit. The Bible says, test the spirit whether it is of God. Don't be an idiot. They will not forgive you for being an idiot. Praise God. I love everybody. Did you say love everybody? Praise God. In that sense of love everybody. Let your love be with wisdom and understanding. I'm supposed to love you as a human being. Praise God. But I will. But Jesus himself did not commit himself to men, knowing what is in them. Praise the Lord. He knew what was what in them. They said, Jesus, fact, we swear, everybody in this town likes you. In fact, everybody in Israel, we have taken the census. CNN has done the census for us. You are the king of Israel. Come and become king. Hallelujah. And the man said, Jesus escaped. Why did, you don't understand. Why did you think those disciples followed him also? They are causing the revelation that he's the next king of Israel. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, if I know the next governor of Ondo State, he will become my friend. Praise God. Do you follow me? I'll be pouring water on the ground so that I can march on wet ground. Because when it comes to his kingdom, his necessity must remember me for good. Praise the Lord. So they are called the revelation, so they move close to Jesus. They follow Jesus. So when everything was looking as if it's not going to work, Peter stalled in. We have abandoned us to follow you. What is our gain? And he said, young man, nothing for you except persecution. If it were you, we will not go back. What is our purpose? Why are we following you? What's our gain? I have nothing to give you. Like I tell people, I say, don't marry this person you want to marry. And you can say, ah, pastor, if I don't marry this person, I tell you, I don't have anybody to give you. So don't think that I'm structuring somebody to marry so that you can know. Some people do that. Praise God. But I'm only telling the word of God. You can't marry a man or a woman that is still in darkness. It's wrong. So don't form inappropriate relationships with unbelievers. Hear what he said. He said, can right and wrong be partners? Can light have anything in common with what? Darkness. He called unbeliever darkness. He didn't even say they are in darkness. He said they are what? Darkness. I told you of a young man in Futa here at the head of, I don't know which cult he was in. His name was Daki. It was darkness personified. One young, small-looking thing like that. That I was told he went to visit his friend in Ife. I've told you the story, haven't I? For those who don't know the story, let me repeat it. It's not a stale news. Praise God. And sat with his friend, chatting, and a lady came around, greeted the young man, and greeted him, and said, I've not seen you before. Say, yes, I'm from Futa. Ah, praise God. How are you? He did say, praise God. I said, there's one guy like that in Futa. He's a very terrible human being. Very, very terrible guy. I said, he said, who is the person? He said, they call him Daki. And the young man said, I was looking at her. When she finished everything, he said, I'm actually Daki. And the girl took off. That was how bad the boy was. The first plane hijack in Nigeria was planned in Futa. That's how notorious Futa is. Both for good and for evil. Worse. Futa has history. Praise God. I understand that there are two boys or so. I don't know. Somebody told me in the security unit that they cracked the security something of Nigeria. This Nigeria security database. They cracked it. They said they have picked them. Nobody knows where they are. Futa management knows. But their friends believe that they have stopped coming to school. You put a notice. If it was America, they would carry them to the research institute and go and start helping them to hack a Russian database. But rather, they would go and waste them in one prison, Kojo prisons. I don't know the boys. They are not members of my church. Praise God. But if you're a member of my church and you know that how to hack, please come and let us hack Satan's secrets. That's more better. Will I finish this thing today? Praise the Lord. Now, excuse me. Now, for this reason, in Ephesians chapter 5, 11, Paul began to talk about this. He says here, have nothing to do with the useless works. He says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Have nothing. Here, this translation says, have nothing to do with the useless works that darkness produces. Instead, what are you supposed to do? Expose it. Now, that will bring a backlash. Praise God. But you cannot compromise with darkness. You can't make friends with darkness. You can't be a yes man. You cannot be a person that wants peace all the time. In case you don't know, Jesus Christ said, is it Jesus that said it was in the Psalms? He said, I am for peace. He said, but when I speak, it's for what? It's for war. He said, I did not come to bring peace to earth. I've come to bring what? Division. I've come to bring a sword. So if you're going to be a follower of Jesus, I say, Lord, I want to be like Jesus every day. Do you know how to fight? Do you know how to pick quarrels? Did you hear me? Do you know how to pick what? Trouble sleep. Younger go weaker. Wait till they find. Trouble sit the jeje. Jesus went to look for trouble. Woe to you Pharisees. Whoa! Trouble just had a jeje. It was one who went to the temple to go and beat them out and drive them. They have been doing their business when Jesus was born. Do you follow me? Can you do that? Can you do that? What we all say is that it doesn't concern me, Abby. But you're not reproving darkness. You're not speaking up against darkness. You're not challenging darkness. Can darkness thrive where you live? You should have a default response that anywhere you see darkness, you are going to resist it. Paul said, expose them for what they are. It's darkness. Don't call green, blue. Don't call blue, yellow. Don't play or you're with people. Praise the Lord. That is oppression of darkness itself. Amen. Colossians 1:13. It now begins to say that, and this is why you have to fight. Because we are getting that from Colossians 1:13. You are going to give me more time. I shouldn't do more than 5 more minutes. He said, who had what? Delivered us. Because you were delivered. You were once darkness. You were not once in darkness. You and I were what? Darkness. We were like darky. Have you ever examined the wickedness that you are capable of doing? Have you ever sat down one day to just examine how wicked you are? It's my first joke, but boy, I have 1,001 ways. You know, do you understand what I'm talking about? You can see, you are wicked, though. you are wicked. You are a very wicked person. The way I'm looking at you, you are very wicked. You are just quiet, but too wicked. And I've learned more wickedness from films. Praise God. I ask myself, if you make me president, I want to fight corruption. Have I told you my technology? Yeah. It's a very wicked, very, very wicked, wicked. So this art is deceitful. The Bible says it's what? Is bad enough to be wicked. Is wicked to be desperately wicked. Is desperately wicked. They must not make a president, though. They must not make me president. I won't kill you. I won't kill anybody. I won't kill anybody. But to be better, you die. That you face what I have in mind. Praise God. Amen. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son in light. It's a kingdom of light. And so you are not supposed, and when you have a kingdom, like we have been discussing, every kingdom has its rules and regulations. Every kingdom has its constitution. Every kingdom has whatever it is by which you live. His own conduct, his own vocation, whatever it is you want to call it. Every kingdom does have their own. You can't go, you know, one thing, praise God, when I went to the U.S., we missed our road. We were supposed to make a turn. We did not make the turn. And we were going to turn about 3 or 4 kilometers away. And I was telling my sister, can't you just make you turn? Oh, she's an American. You can do that in Nigeria, but not in America. Praise God. And I was like, really? In Nigeria, we don't follow traffic rules. It's anathema. Praise God. In Nigeria, there are so many things we just don't care about. In advanced country, you can't earn. And this one, bing, 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 bing. My sister said they can come down and shoot you. And they will not be. They will tell you that you were harassing them. Kota ma fi seri. When you go out of the house with your car, and your car does not have one, it's as if you are naked. I don't know whether you understand what I'm talking about. Kimani on. Kokada. Wakubami. Praise God. So you must understand that every kingdom has its own rules and regulations. You can't just behave anyhow. So in this darkness, kingdom of darkness, they do expect you to come there as a child of light and be behaving like light. There will be a resistance. And you cannot come with darkness and it comes in the kingdom of light and begin to behave like a child of darkness. That kingdom will rebel against you. Praise God.
Say he has delivered us. And because we have been delivered from darkness, this is the reason why he now went on to tell us in Ephesians chapter 6 that our wrestling is not with what? It's not with flesh and blood. Because you've been translated to the kingdom of light, it automatically enlists you to engage darkness. Many of you think that you can run your life after you have given your life to Christ the way you want it, the way you have planned it. It doesn't work like that. You were not translated to continue your old way of thinking and behavior. No, you have been called to engage darkness. Praise God. And Paul wrote that you engage with the weapons of light. Do you understand me? The weapons of what? Light. He said the weapons of our warfare, they are not what? They are not carnal. But they are what? They are mighty through God. Now, the reason why they are mighty is still predicated of the principle that light does not wrestle with darkness. Amen. Light does not do what? Doesn't wrestle with darkness. I was talking with Deacon Michael. I said, we enjoy calling Jesus the Lion of the tribe of Judah. The Lion of the tribe of Judah. And when we sing the song, Lion, your head will just swell up. Hallelujah. I like that lion team. Amen. But do you know that he did not conquer the lion? Hello? Jesus didn't conquer as a lion. No? How did he conquer? As a lamb. In the realm of the spirit, a lamb is stronger than a lion. In the natural, the lion is stronger than the lamb. But in that realm, if you are going to prevail, you must prevail as a lamb. You now understand why he now said, when they slap you, turn the other one to him. Because that's the only way you can conquer darkness. You cannot conquer darkness with darkness. It does not work. Am I communicating? Please don't mind my shirt. You see, it's not. Okay, it has worked. Amen. Do you follow me, church? That is how we fight. So please, all the songs we have written that depicts we are fighting as lions. And go and remove it because it's not biblical. Amen. I don't know the songs we have written. But you can work on it. Praise God. Amen. One of the things that is you are going to notice in this end times that we are dealing with is found, you'll find it in 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 17. I have so much to say, I'll just rush it. 2 Peter 2:17. This was speaking about certain people that are going to be operating in the time we have found ourselves. Said these are wells without what? Water. Have you ever tried looking for water before, especially in the dry season, and there's no water? It can be very, very, how do I explain that? Because that never happened to me. I only watch it in television. Praise God. I watched a particular documentary of a drought that attacked, is it Malawi or Zimbabwe, one place in East Africa, and people were fighting and killing to have food to eat, but there was no water to plant their crops. There was drought. And this young boy developed a wind something to draw water from a well for them to do irrigation. The boy got an award. The boy didn't go to school. His parents were poor. But he was able to go to the library and read about wind power. And he constructed a windmill and was drawing water and electricity for the village. Small young boy. Praise God. These are wells without water. You get to a place where you are looking for water and lo and behold, it's not what you are expecting. It's empty. Your hope is dashed. Your expectations are dashed. It says, there are clouds that are carried with tempest to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. Verse 18. He was describing them. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, They are lured through the lust of the flesh. In other words, their basic preaching and everything is about your flesh. What you can become. Where you can go. That's why, what is this? What do we talk about here? This kind of preaching you hear. Is it prosperity preaching? Is it motivation speaking? It's not gospel. Because they are addressing and spiking your lust. Through much wantonness, those that are clean escape from dead who live in error. In these last days, we're going to see a lot of these preachings more than ever before. And we're talking this morning, Pastor Bill, I said, things that are coming on the earth, I don't know how we're going to survive. I have no clue how we're going to survive. But survive we must. Amen. And that's why we're saying we need to prepare ourselves for what is coming ahead. It will come to a time that everything you hold on to will be upturned. For example, I don't know how many of you, how do you feel when your classmates are cheating in class? Exams. They cheat in exams and they score A's. And you have sworn I will never cheat. And you come out with, if you are blessed, you come out with E. C is good. E. E does not carry any credit mark anymore, Abby. E does not carry a credit mark. It doesn't carry, but they would let you go, Abby. Is D or fail now? Okay. Kini D, what is D? Okay, on the dot, sir. It's like, let my people go. Yeah. And you have served God with a pure heart. You have fasted, you have prayed. At the end of the day, you get D. And the people who are cheating are getting A. And you carry your leg and go and complain. And the lecturer says, did I stop you from cheating? At that time, you will hear, you will remember the saying of men. When you are in Rome, you like Romans. Then you hear, use wisdom. That is darkness talking to you. Use wisdom. Then you say, well, God, you know me. It didn't come from my heart, but this one, I will just one time. You have compromised your stand. It happened to the prophets of old. It's happening now. Only God will help us in Jesus' name. Hear the word of the Lord. 2 Peter 2:4. I'm closing. Lord, I will close. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, what did he do to them? Cast them down to hell. As powerful as those angels are, where? As glorious as they were, as important as they were, the Bible says, God did what? Cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness. Hallelujah. What did he do to them? To be reserved unto judgment. Amen. He warned us to be careful. Be careful. Now let me say this. John chapter 3 verse 19. And I want to end there. John 3:19. This is God's verdict. And this is the judgment. This is the condemnation. This is the assessment from the throne. The light came into the world. And men loved darkness. They loved darkness. Remember that man told Abraham, if you send someone from the dead and tell them that hell is real, tell them that they need to repent, tell them, say they will repent. And Abraham said, no, they will not repent. He said, you don't know them. They will repent. Praise God. Jesus rose from the dead. They have not repented. Apostles, prophets, and all of them have spoken. People have not repented. We are still talking today. Many people, many of you are here. You are just doing imu to me. When you finish, you will go. The reason why you are doing that is that you are still a lover of darkness. Somewhere there you have. Pastor said it. He said, there is a molecule of darkness in all of us. I said, it's not molecule. It's chemical compound. Praise God. You have to give it up. They love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds are evil. That is the judgment of God. He has weighed us and he has seen us and he said these deeds are evil. Praise God. Say, but are we not children of God? That's not the issue. John said that if you hate your brother, said you are a liar. There is no light in you. You are in darkness. And it's not it. If you love the world, you are an enemy of God. Is that not what the Bible says? You are what? An enemy. You know what an enemy is? You are a Boko Haram. Praise God. You are, sir? You are an adversary. You are a bandit. You are a kidnapper. Amen. Amen. The fact that you love darkness, the fact that you accommodate darkness, the fact that you are comfortable with darkness, you are an adversary of God. You can sing all the songs in the hymn book. You are still an adversary. So don't deceive yourself. Amen. I want us to pray. David said, Lord, if there is any wickedness, wickedness is also a manifestation of darkness. Say, if there is any wickedness in me, Lord, expose it. David probably prayed that prayer with an intention that he has examined himself and he has found nothing wrong with himself. But he didn't know that there was a darkness in his heart, an inordinate love for what was not his. He didn't know it. Maybe he should have prayed, Lord, expose the darkness in me and help me to overcome it. But just say, Lord, check me, examine me. I'm okay. Told me to examine around. There's nothing wrong with me. And God said, all right. Others, they sent Moriah's wife. Till that, see, David's eyes were not open until the day the prophet came and spoke to him. It was as if David, I can't do that. David, there is murder in your heart. Me, I'm not a murderer. I'm a psalmist. Me, I love God. In fact, did you not see the songs I composed? I said I love to enter your temple. I will wake up in the morning. I will raise my hand. I said, David, you are a murderer. You are wicked. And I know David would have looked at me. If you repeat it again, I will separate your head from your body. And God said, no problem, bro, David. We'll see. Praise God. There's wickedness in your heart. The condition is not just ripe to expose it. It's not just ripe, but it's there. Everyone is looking at it like that. And they are saying, wickedness on you, boy. Oh, wicked. Oh, wicked. That's why we need mercy. That's why every time you come to God, you must come on the platform of mercy. You can't come and say, Lord, I am okay. You are not okay. Praise God. You've never been okay. You've never been. Amen. I just told you the little wickednesses in my heart. For thinking a car that never will pass me, I should be as if I should just slap his head. Hallelujah. Wickedness, they're real. Is that wickedness better than fornication, Abby? But they are all wickednesses. And the one who is fornicating, and the one who is divorcing his wife, and the one that is killing people, the one that we want, they are all what? The same thing. It's darkness. The Bible says, have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. Rather expose it. Don't own up. I said, this thing is here, Lord. In mercy, remove this thing from my heart. Purge me that I may be clean. Can we bow our heads to pray? Purge me.
Whatever nature of darkness is in your heart, you need to be purged. You need to be cleansed. Not just forgiven. It must be cleansed. The prophet said the heart of a man is deceitful. You can't trust your heart. You can't trust yourself. You never can come to any good except God makes you good. It's only God that can make you good. That's why you need mercy. That's why you need God to help you. Lord, help me. That sinner came into the temple and said, Lord, have mercy upon me, sinner. Have mercy. You and I need mercy. Have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. You were called to engage darkness. You were called to fight it. You were called to make sure it doesn't hold sway wherever your sphere of influence is. That is why you were set on a hill. That is why you are a candle that has been lit to give light. You were there to dispel and to subdue darkness. Not to aid it. Not to look away. But if it is in your own heart, you need to judge it. If you are prone to compromises, you are a compromiser. You need to repent. If you are a person that you love this world, the Bible says, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. There are no two ways to it. There are no two ways to it. Many of you, you love this world. You love what the world offers. You want to continue in the things of this world. He said the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Many of us are proud. Because of your pride, you will not ask for help. Because of your pride, you will not repent. Because of your pride, you will not own up and say, Lord, I have a problem. There are problems you have, except you own up to a person and say, look, brother, sister, please pray for me. God will not deliver you from that problem. Because like Jacob, he will ask you, what is your name? You have to call your sin by his name. Say, my sin is God. That I'm Jacob, a supplanter. That is my nature. If you don't own up, there's no deliverance. That's why Paul said, pray for one another that you may be healed. If you don't open up, they can't pray for you. Say that, oh, I don't want them to know my secrets. Then you will die in your secrets. You will die in that problem. That problem will destroy you. The only way you can be delivered is owning up. You own up. Say, pray for me. I bed wet. Pray for me. It's a problem. Pray for me. I love wickedness. Pray for me. I know this thing is wrong. Please pray for me. It appears as if this desire is stronger than me. Pray for me. Father, I thank you. Father, I ask that you have mercy on us. I'm asking you to forgive us. I'm asking you to heal us. I'm asking you to set us straight. I'm asking you, Lord, to purge us from everything that is darkness. That will no longer be subject to the operations of these spirits. Help us to prosper in light. Help us to love light. Help us to live in light. Don't take away the things that make for darkness from us. Take it away from us, O God, in the name of Jesus. Let your name be glorified. Let not the death of Jesus Christ be in vain over us. This is our prayer. And as many as are not born again, they don't understand. But for the desire to come into a relationship with you, show mercy on them. Show mercy to them. and draw them into the fellowship of the Son. Translate them from darkness into the kingdom of your Son in light. Thank you, Father. In Jesus Christ's name, we are prayed. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many Spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocese every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.